The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of Club and County, because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Another very interesting weekend of Gaelic football. I have the two boys with me in slightly different setups. Paddy is in the Off the Ball office. Paddy?
All good. All good. Happy to talk about everything other than Saturday night, sports-wise, this morning. So, yeah, there's about 100 microphones and headphones around me here, Tommy. I'm looking at the ball, and none of them are working for my laptop. So you'll have to keep me on mute for most of this, which I'm happy enough with for this week anyway.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I don't know. Do I want to start with Saturday night, James? I actually think I want to bury Saturday night because it just wasn't good. And maybe it's because I'm spoiled from the football I've covered in the last 18 months or so. But that
one of the games were great, though. Were they, Tommy, this weekend?
Maybe not.
Even Armagh Donegal was kind of not. I don't think they were great. Maybe the Rossies Galway, maybe Saturday night.
Okay, so who's saved the weekend then, James?
Well, I was actually up in Corpac for the Dublin Kerry game. For my sins, it was tough. It was tough watching, I must say. I don't think either team really played their best stuff or anything near it. But Jesus, Dublin. It's very hard to be critical of Dublin because of what they've done and some of the players they have and the success they've had. But they're in a world of pain at the moment, the Dubs. And I think they're probably going to be relegated, but they don't seem to have any bit of identity at the moment. And even though they did, you know, come back and put Kerry under pressure, I think that it's becoming more and more evident as the weeks go on that it's going to be Kerry Donegal almost are at the real forefront of this championship, and then you're going to have your Galway and your Armagh maybe after that, and then there's a gulf. Because even Manin and Dublin played out a very competitive game, and Mayo absolutely annihilated Manin then, you know, afterwards. So I think that the tiers of this are starting to separate this year. Whereas last year it was very much a case of everyone was bundled in. It was like, who's going to win this thing? But this year I think that there's a little bit of separation.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting answer. I think it only took you about a minute and 20 seconds. On Saturday night at 14 minutes past seven, it took you just three words on Twitter. Dublin are bad. Was that Barry John Keane who took your phone, or was that you? It is a James Dunne who tweeted, to be fair.
No, it was just so frustrating to see that game, because obviously we travelled up, we're looking forward to seeing a great game of football, it's never got going. But you know what I'm noticing about the game at the moment is it's crying out for a corner forward who genuinely wants the ball from a kick pass all the time. And Dublin were so starved of that at the weekend. Nobody, do you know when you want to make a run for the ball and you're actually losing your voice because you're shouting for it so much because you want it. You're going, yeah, right? And you're making a run. And then you might double back and go the other way and the same thing, but you're craving that ball. I don't see that from teams at the moment. If anything, it's just very cautious and safe and the hand pass is coming in. It's just not...
That's interesting. Do you know who's doing it? The Roscommon are doing it. I think Mayo were trying to do it and maybe tried to do it a bit too much. Go direct. That's, like, I think the Roscommon corner forward is getting a bit of joy from long kickouts to midfield, a catch and a kick pass straight inside.
Yes. But definitely. And that's probably the easiest way to do it, is straight from a kickout, because you're kind of catching the cornerback. But it still takes run after run after run after run and desire to get the ball to do it. If you actually see a lot of the highlights from the games over the weekend, teams are doing it to a lesser extent with the fist pass. Definitely in the Meath and Cork game, you'd notice that they were kind of punching it into the forward line and trying to come off it. But the step above that in quality, or the step above that in productivity, is a kick, because it adds on 20 yards and it stretches the game. So I think if Kerry can add that little bit, which probably Dylan Gainey will do for them, Dublin need to add it as well. Otherwise, you know, it was 116 to 110 the weekend. I know the conditions were tough, but in terms of scoring, it was probably down as well.
Paddy, are you seeing that?
I think Dublin have lots of different issues in all areas of the pitch. Look, it wasn't a great game. I think Jack O'Connor alluded to it afterwards as well. It was... Kerry were happy enough to get out with a win, having been so dominant the week before against Galway and nearly contrived to lose that game. But
look, Dublin got a goal a bit at the end of the match, put a bit of a glass on the scoreboard, but like 6 points, it could have been a hell of a lot more. Kerry, good for them to see Paddy get back out, Tom Sullivan as well. They'll only get better from here on. For Dublin, it's okay, attacking wise, they look blunt, really. Like, they score 10 points. Conn gone off injured is obviously never ideal, but if you look at Dublin, look at all the main areas of the game, like modern Gaelic football, your own kick out is really important. Dublin aren't sure who's going to play in goal. I think Evan Comfort's kick outs were a bit off. Again, you look defensively, whatever about Jerry Brennan trying to bring through 10 or 15 players into the squad, which he absolutely has to do in terms of squad depth. Dublin are going to have six, probably six, maybe even more, brand new players in their first 15, never mind their squad. You know, there's going to be, the two wing backs are going to be new. Nathan Doran potentially could be the full back, Theo Clancy, whoever it will be. But there's three or four defenders who are going to be brand new in that Dublin team. So they don't have a man marker, which is going to be a problem. That's going to be a massive challenge against the top teams. They don't have a man marker on the half-back line. They've lost John Small. So that's going to be an issue. And they're not sure on how they're going to play defensively. So there's a question mark the goalkeeper, who it's going to be and what they're going to do on kickouts. Question marks over defensively, how they're going to set up and the personnel. Who's going to be midfield? Like, Pat O'Coughlin-Byrd had a breakout year last year, which was really good. And he's got that physique and size, which we've said in the modern game is going to be massively important. But we have no idea who the other midfielder is even going to be. Never mind what type of partnership they're going to have or what they're going to do on kickouts. Then you get into the forward line. Same thing. There's going to be two or three new players in that forward line. They don't carry. This is the reality. They don't carry a two-point threat. They don't. They don't have a Paul Mannion or a Michael Langan yesterday, or Oisin O'Neill, or these type of guys, Clifford, who can just kick the ball over from 55 yards. And that's fine. There's loads of ways, different ways to skin a cat. But if you don't have a two-point threat, Saturday night saw a carbon copy of last year's All-Ireland quarterfinal, what Tyrone did. Kerry can just drop off them. They can just sag in and go, Dublin aren't going to kick over us. So Dublin need to find a way to attack differently from that. And that's where you need raw pace. Guys coming from deep, the punch holes, the turn the defence, real energy in their attack. And Dublin don't really have that either. They don't have a Jack McCaffrey or an Oisin Conaty or Bugler maybe, you know, who can turn the defence. And if we're not going to score two-pointers, we're going to ask really tough questions. Whereas Dublin don't have that. So there's this real lateral, slow, cumbersome build-up, which we seen last year. And they were challenged on that, which we're seeing so far this season as well. And outside of Conn, you know, Andy Moran said this a couple of weeks ago. It was a great point. And Jimmy, you've said it before loads of times. To win big championship matches this year, 20 points is not going to be enough. You're probably going to need to get to 25 points, realistically. Dublin look like they're going to struggle to get to 15 points outside of Conn. Like, where is the scoring threat? I know, I'm not trying to be harsh, but the reality of what we're seeing is all the key areas of the game, modern Gaelic football, their attack, how you're going to score, your midfield, trying to get parity there, how hard you are to play against defensively, what you're going to do with your own kickouts. There's question marks over every single one of them for Dublin. Not just on style, but also actually the people. What players are going to be in those positions? And Jimmy, absolute nail on the head. There's a lack of identity. What are Dublin trying to do? And you asked a good question, Tommy Ajayi, afterwards. Around there, they're trying Kieran inside and these direct passes. And Jer, as is his style, very frank, just, yeah, we're trying things. We need to try things. They didn't work on Saturday night. And unfortunately for Dublin, over the next couple of weeks, starting with the Rossies this weekend and through the rest of the National League, they're going to be trying lots of different things. And at the minute, three rounds in, can't say really any of what has been tried is working, personnel-wise or style-wise. So it's not a surprise, but it's worrying to see as a Dublin supporter. Yeah, it's tough, tough place to be.
Yeah, it's not great. And
It's not great.
Yeah,
it's not
great. And it wasn't great on Saturday night. And Kerry kept them at arm's length and kind of just did what they did. I think I heard yourself and David Hyland talking, Paddy, and we might actually just flip this to Donegal, talking about the control that Kerry tried to play with in terms of defence or possession. They were dropping back that little bit more.
That was positive from Kerry, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah.
a team that also do that are Donegal. And I'm not sure, did you see the sequence of play before Conor O'Donnell's goal? And you boys were talking about Conor O'Donnell and the form he's in last week. Like, he comes off the shoulder like a rocket and buries a goal the last day, okay? It ends up being the difference. Armagh, again, you know, they're in the mix. They're missing chances. They're close. Some good stuff. You know, still not getting wins, but I don't think there's any big panic up there. But O'Donnell's goal came from 3 minutes of possession. And you don't see that on maybe the Sunday League highlights at the weekend. Like, it was Armagh. It was actually really good defending for a lot of it. And all you see then is O'Donnell kind of like a rocket getting the ball, bang, back in the net. But like, that sustained level of possession, I think maybe we forgot that that can happen now in Gaelic games, you know, under the new rules. But you can still mind the ball, control the ball, and I suppose grind the team down like that.
I mean, it's what Donegal are so good at. That's what they're so hard to play against. And then, to be fair to Kerry, in the first half, that league game of Ballyshannon, I thought Kerry dealt with that really, really well. The challenge is you need to keep it up for 75 minutes. And Donegal are masters at this in terms of keeping the ball. You said it, Jimmy. You know, the first time you play against Donegal is nearly like an assault on the senses. You need to get used to their style of play. And McGuinness and those players are so comfortable. They will keep the ball for that period of time and they are waiting. There might even be, at different stages, a kick pass on inside, but they're not going to take that risk. They're going to keep it and they're going to wait for someone to switch off or someone to just create a two-on-one or an overlap. And what Dublin don't have, Donegal doing, the likes of a Ryan McHugh or an Owen Bon Gallagher or Conor O'Donnell, someone coming like an absolute train to come through. So it's just, they're way further down the tracks, Donegal. Again, yesterday was the latest example of them showing they're absolutely at the forefront of this thing so far. And Conor O'Donnell, we said it last week, I think we've been saying it lots of weeks, he's just a player in absolute confidence to get on the end of those things. And the beauty for him is when, okay, Gallen was there yesterday, but with Gallen, Paddy McGrady's gone, Murphy's still easing his way back in. Donegal are getting him on the end of those possessions. Whereas in the summer, it might be different, it might be other players, but at the minute, he's the guy they're teeing up for this long bouts possession, and then he comes, and he has the quality to make a count. And yesterday was just the latest example of that, but they're so well-oiled, they're so hard to defend against.
In fairness to Donegal, their attack last year was brilliant as well. Their whole game last year was excellent, but they were probably caught in the final in terms of, I know Jim McGuinness probably doesn't want to talk about like that, but tactically in the final against Kerry, they didn't do any matchups and they got cut out that way. And they've actually polished up their attack another level this year with Murphy to come back, fair enough. But they actually look a lot stronger in attack. And if they can just fix that marking situation at the back, which I think they'll have to, yeah, then that will take them on another level. So there are things, even for the Donegal who are shooting the lights out, there's still things for them to improve. But I think Conor O'Donnell is the one. I think if he got into his head, if he believed genuinely that he's the best forward in the country, it would take him on. It's like every time he gets the ball, he can do something. He can get a shot off. He can get a goal chance. He just needs to be that ruthless killer. And I think he has it in him. I think he's a super player.
He was, and look, this doesn't ultimately matter that much, but he was very close to an all-star last year. But I think where he fell down was that he was seen as being Donegal's third forward. You know, he was seen as being the one that maybe wasn't getting picked up.
You can start believing that yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not the case.
But what I'm here for you is,
this fella should be number one.
You said last week, this guy needs to be a scoring machine. Like, Paddy, you said this guy could be footballer of the league, arguably at the moment. So that's interesting to hear, even that mentality in your head. Another fella that we didn't see much of last year, he's had struggles with injuries over the year and moved clubs and stuff. He was man of the match yesterday. Oh, Jason McGee. Like, what a performance.
Some man.
What a behemoth.
Some man.
If you want a bit of
behemoth,
piggery,
that's the word.
He's got a bit of piggery. If he wants to play football, he can play football. Like, oh, that was sublime yesterday. To go with Michael Langan's, you know, beautiful, relaxed, languid two-pointers as well. Like, you know, like they've got big options around the place as well, Donegal. So that was impressive. I don't know, did you hear McGeaney after the game, lads? But, oh, he was in rare form. We were talking about it afterwards. It was one of the most entertaining. If he ever decides to step away from Armagh after about 26 years and he wants to start an overlap style podcast, it would work. Honestly, he's got that Roy Keane factor. He's talking to the press yesterday and it was like a comedy show. I'll share some of the stuff. Cathal Kane has it up as well on Twitter. Brilliant stuff. He gets asked, could Oisin Connolly have done any more with the penalty? He could have scored it. He could have scored it, to be fair, you know.
Could he have done any more with the penalty?
Yeah, it's worth watching. And he's asked about referees, or he wasn't asked about referees. And he was like, you guys are asking us about referees. People think that we just come in here looking to talk about referees. We don't. But will it turn for Armagh? You think eventually it will, but we've been saying this with Armagh for a while in terms of like penalty shootouts. Ah, sure, they'll win one eventually. Did you have to do anything different to start taking these chances? Because they're bloody creating them.
They need to add goals. They need to add whatever they have to do. They need to add goals. And I'm talking the threat of two or three a game. Because Paddy said, if you're going to hit 25 points, they're brilliant at working the same score kind of regularly, and they have a great build up. But you need that kind of the unknown, the something different, where it rejuvenates the whole team and the crowd, and the ball's in the back of the net, and you're up and running. Do you see Ross McQuillan's point yesterday where he did the dink up on the run and threw it over with the right? It was sensation. Like, they have all the skills in the world, all the quality, but I don't think that they're going enough for the jugular. And if they could just add, because they have to get so many scores to win a game these days, especially in the latter stages, I think they need to add the goals.
Yeah, well, penalties
needs to be a gimme. You know, you can't, at that level against Donegal, you obviously can't miss that. Like, Kerry have missed penalties in big games in the past and been beaten. That's something you definitely have to nail now.
But you still think what we've seen enough, even though results are not going their way, in every one of their games, they've had periods, 15, 20 minutes here and there, where they look awesome. Like, that Galway game, how they managed to lose that. But, like, I don't think McGeaney would be overly concerned. Okay, scoring efficiency, it's so obvious. They collectively speak and they'll work on that. And the other one is just maybe around the goalkeeper side of things. Is it Rafferty? Is it Blaine Hughes? Because we've seen it again yesterday. We've seen it in every game with Armagh so far. If they lose a kick out around the middle, or they're probably, say, every team is susceptible to a counter attack, but Armagh look really vulnerable on turnovers. If they can slow a team down and get their bodies back, they look really well set defensively. But just, they're a little bit leaky at the back around that. And maybe that comes from, you know, if they lose a kick out, that they're wide open. And then just, like I said, they're creating so many chances, as they will. Their style of play, they will create a lot of chances. It's just about tidying those things up. But I still think, like, they're fair, Jimmy. They're in the top four. They're definitely all early contenders.
Yeah. James, you want to confirm that?
Yeah. The only thing that I'd be not worried about for McGeaney, but McGuinness seems to have Armagh's number, you know. Like, he has an unbelievable record against Armagh. It's hard to know which way it's going to go there. But, like, if Donegal play Armagh in a big, big game this summer, you'd be thinking that Donegal would have their number again. And then, like, the Northern teams are so strong and they're going to be playing each other so often that when they do play maybe a Meath or a Kerry who come with a completely different style, it'll be interesting to see how they can get back to that again. And that's what actually caught Armagh in the quarterfinal against Kerry. It was just so different to the rest of the season. And Kerry were able, the tactics they had to actually play that Ulster style in the quarterfinal, semi-final, final suited them last year. But I'd still have Armagh in and around it, definitely. But unless you're getting the goals this year, you can't kick 25 one-pointers.
Yeah, no. I think that's fair. Okay, I'm holding apart here for a minute. We're going to get to Division 2 and 3 after the break. Roscommon, Galway. Like, again, Roscommon. I was at the Hyde last week for the win against Armagh. We talked about it last week. The form they're in under a new management team and Mark Dowd without the St. Bridges boys. I think Galway, a little similar to Meath, were maybe getting away with these late dramatic comebacks. Right, Galway maybe coming from 12 points down. Meath were letting lead slip and winning it with two-pointers in the last minute. Meath got caught by Cork this weekend. They weren't good enough to beat them in the end. It's an interesting game we might come back to in a minute. But Galway, 13 points up at one stage in absolute gale-force conditions. But Roscommon again, like the wind, I was at Loudoun Tyrone. Both sides were very, very good against the wind, and they were not good with the wind. The wind does not guarantee you a game or a win in any sense. But the Roscommon forwards again, lads, like 1-7 from Darragh Craig. I'm sorry. The form this guy is in.
Quality.
You know, we mentioned it last week. He's in that bracket of players kicking two-pointers off both feet in the league already this season. Dierman Murthy again. Enda Smith with another brilliant goal. One of the best goals of the weekend. Not quite the best goal of the weekend, but Roscommon lads moving very well without getting too ahead of ourselves. Like, what a brilliant start to the league.
Yeah, I mean,
they should be 4-4, James.
They should be. They should have beaten Kerry. Well, they should definitely got maybe. Well, there was the buzzer drama down in Killarney where they lost the game in the last second. But I suppose the only question mark about Roscommon is whether they can sustain it for the rest of the year. Do you know? Because I think this happened under Davy Burke maybe 2 years ago where they had a great league. I think they got a little bit excited. I know that Paddy interviewed them on the field after one of the games, and there was genuine sense that they can rattle the All-Ireland. So I think that one game at a time is the only way to go for that for Roscommon. They're playing some unbelievable stuff in attack. In attack, they are so good to watch. So much skill, so much class. But the fact they haven't been around the latter stages that often can play with your mind a little bit. They just need to concentrate one game at a time and improve that way. But at the moment, they are playing phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, they really are. I don't think either of them will get carried away, Galway or Roscommon, in terms of where they're at the minute. But, you know, Galway again are probably still in that same, but they've got Paul Conroy back. Like, what a feat coming back again, playing football again this year for Paul Conroy. And that's a big boost getting them back as well. But they're still down an awful lot of bodies. So the next couple of league games are going to be really interesting because that division is going to start taking shape really, really quickly. One thing is for sure, Monaghan are gone. They're going down. Yeah. They were very poor at the weekend. James, you spoke the first weekend about not knowing if Mayo had ever kicked the score that they had in round one. They put up 230 at the weekend. And
230, phenomenal. To see 30 points is impressive.
Yeah. Is it in a football
30 match, points really? Is serious going, yeah. 230, phenomenal performance. And obviously...
Are we talking about the young
player? You're probably going to get on to Kobe.
We waited 22 minutes. We've waited 22 minutes, all right? I'm just going to say that, first off, is he as good as I think he is?
I haven't seen much of him, right? But he looked so classy, so confident, so at home and at peace the last day on the field. And I obviously didn't know the levels this fella could get to, but now I'm thinking this fella is different gravy. He can move, he can play, he has confidence, he's bravery, he has unbelievable kicking ability. The finish for the goal, right? When he was going at pace, two solos, and just rifled it across the keeper down low, textbook finish. And we say about quality all the times, that just oozed it. And he wasn't putting it too close to the goal, you're going the wrong side or hitting it straight at him. Inside to the side netting, far post.
Can I tell
super,
you?
Super, I was speaking, super goal.
I was chatting to a couple of my colleagues in the press pack, Darren Farrell from RT and Cartuck Bon Brannock, who does commentary in Radio Naguilt, and TJ Carr. He's going to offer you Irish grinds, Paddy.
Thank you for saying that, yeah. Much appreciated.
Before Hugo and Edie get into
Gormagut. Gormagut.
But the lads were behind the finish for the goal, and they're like, the TV cameras do not show the whip on that shot. Like, it starts outside the post and comes back in. The speed, James and Paddy, like, for the height of him, you're nearly surprised by the way he moves. I'm not sure I've seen a footballer move like him in quite a while anyways.
No, he can, the way he galloped away, I think he didn't track a runner, so he was kind of being clever, he's being cute, he kind of wanted to smell the chance, because obviously the game wasn't necessarily in the melting pot either, but the way he just cleared away from everyone. And then that was fine for the goal. But then for the two-pointer, he's giving it so he can get it back. And then he's actually pulled the trigger, almost standing still, and still had miles to go on it. Which again, you know, to the ordinary viewer, you might not think that that's that impressive. But to get the power, the curl, you know, the everything on it from a standing still position.
Against the wind.
Against the wind, just it's something different. And I mean, Mayo are going to lose him, I presume, in September, aren't they? They're going to have him for the season.
Yeah, it was like, before that though, Jimmy.
I know, so they're going to have him for this year. They're going to miss his best unless he comes home, but they're going to miss his best, but I'd be getting him in the middle of this straight away.
Yeah, let's not think about what we're going to miss. Like, and I don't think it's just Mayo
who will lose Kobe MacDonald. Like, Gaelic football will lose Kobe MacDonald when he goes, because we want to see footballers like this. Paddy, his first touch, it was from the Paddy Andrews corner of a pitch, right? He makes this brilliant run, and you can actually see the full run off the ball where he kind of slows down, accelerates off to the right. His man doesn't even follow him, doesn't even take a touch. And his first touch in Gaelic football is to clip a point from the 21 on the right on the run. Like, you've been in dress rooms where Jack McCaffrey's emerged, where Conor Callan has emerged. Am I getting carried away in the way I'm looking at how good he was?
No, it's do you know the most impressive thing, right? And technically, he's brilliant, right? And that's the most important thing for a young player coming through, because he's only a young fella, but you could break into a senior team, you get the strength and conditioning, you get stronger, you get faster, you get fitter. Mayo have no problem, and never have, and just seems like they never will have a problem with bringing through these unbelievably athletic players. Their aerobic capacity can run up and down the pitch, and all of those are unbelievably useful traits to have in a Gaelic footballer. But Mayo haven't had someone like him. And I'd even include Andy Moran and Killian O'Connor, two of the best ever forwards in this. He just strikes me as, he's technically incredible at this age. And he just happens to have the physique and all the other stuff to go with it straight away. So the hype is justified. I think Andy has done very well in terms of protecting him, in terms of not just throwing him straight in the first day against Galway. I still don't think we'll see him every week. You know, like when Wayne Rooney came on the scene, you might see 20 minutes of him here, 30 minutes of him there. But make no bones about it, he's the type of player, if Mayo were going to get to that 25-point mark, they need someone like him where he can get six possessions and he'll score 1-4. Like clinical,
set up a score.
Highest degree. And because Ryan O'Donoghue needs support with him. Aidan O'Shea's not a scorer. That's not his role. Killian O'Connor will come back into the team. They'll chip in. We spoke about it last week. The likes of Carr or Jordan Flynn at wing forward, maybe from midfield. They get 2 or 3 points.
Fergal Boland, the last day.
Yeah, exception. But they're all 2 or 3 points max. Mayo need a marquee guy to go with Ryan O'Donoghue. And this kid, like yesterday, was just proof that he could be the answer. And you don't want to put massive pressure on an unconscious Mayo, get very excited with lots of different things, and they will with this fella. But he's got things right now, even though he's only 18, that could make a massive, massive difference for Mayo. An out-and-out killer up front.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't had one in such a long time.
Like, I'm not making a like-for-like comparison here, right? But David Clifford had the right people around him when the hype was blown up from Clifford, right? He had a very good, solid family around him. Clearly, Kerry knew how to handle his talent. They looked after him. I think this is happening in Mayo as well. Obviously, with Kieran MacDonald as a father, Jordan Flynn, you know, on the panel as well, his brother. The way they've minded him and got him off the field yesterday. And obviously, Andy Moore and his coach. They're all working together here, like, let's not forget, Kobe MacDonald's in school this morning as we're recording this. Like, he was playing a Connacht final for Gertner Abbey last week. He did his mocks. Andy said he only came into training on Wednesday.
How did the mocks go? And did he pass his mocks? That's what we want to know. There's important things here, kids.
Exactly. And I think they are managing them well. But like, sometimes, James, sometimes you have to let them off the leash. And the way he celebrates those scores, like, I just love that. Like,
he's
not making any apologies for who he is. Did you see the wristband? Legacy on the wristband. This guy is embracing whatever bit of pressure around him. Like, he does not mind about this.
But that was the one thing that struck me, how comfortable he seemed immediately. Now, the point would do that. You know what I mean? First touch over the bar. Jesus, I can do this, no problem. This is easy. That's probably what he felt. He was like, this is grand. But I think Paddy made a good point there about his skills being outrageously good already, technically brilliant. These new rules will kind of cater to that a little bit, because he can hang around, even if he's not getting that much ball maybe inside, he can hang around the edges. He has a beautiful kicking range from distance, from passing as well, and he can run. That's a nearly... so important for his age at the moment. He can move, he can glide, and he can glide with those skills. He doesn't need to be 26 or 7 or have a 15-year, you know, gym program behind him. He has what it takes this year. He has enough in the locker this year to make a big, big impact to the championship. And Mayo need it. They have been short that that natural forward. Darabont coming in is going to help them as well. Do you know, things aren't looking too bad in Mayo.
And I don't think they'll get carried away either, because you could see the levels, I suppose, last week in Donegal, the difference there as well. You know, you're talking about the pack and maybe that little bit away, but they are pulling themselves back up there. Like Fergal Boland's two-pointers the last day, we weren't seeing Mayo do this before. Like, he's shooting them from 55 metres out towards the hooter, similar to Jack Kearney a few weeks back. All six of our starting forwards scored. Jack Kearney, obviously operating in the middle, 2 points. Ronan Dunhue, four. Jack Flynn, five. Dara Byrne, five. Aidan O'Shea, 1-1. Fergal Boland, five. Like, they are moving, they're motoring. And of course, their top scorer, who came on the field for 16 minutes, Kobe McDonald with 1-4. Monaghan, look, it's just not happening at the minute. They didn't really lay a paw on a lot of the Mayo attacks. And it's just, they're probably just sliding back to the mean a little bit with big injury troubles. Rory Began dropping out before the game wasn't a help. Keane Mulligan in goals, obviously a very talented young fella. And then up top, you know, they're loads of talent there, but it's just not clicking for them, and they're shy a lot of bodies. Like Stephen O'Hanlon and Micheál Bannigan would have started, and Woods Lash would have started their games, but the other lads are coming in and just kind of breaking in. So Monaghan are sliding back. We're going to take a quick break on the football pod, and we're coming back with a few of the other bits that have happened this weekend. The football pod is brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship, for the life you're after.
OTB GAA.
Fellas, can we start with Division 2 here? Because we got stuck into plenty from Division 1. It was really interesting. A lot of different stuff going on. I was at Loudoun Tyrone, but I want to just start with Meath and Cork, because this was a top-of-the-table clash, or it had been, before Derry absolutely ripped Offaly apart in Celtic Park. And there was a big win to play that day as well. They had that game over by half-time. Meath and Cork was a really interesting clash. Both sides had injury worries going into it, or injury trouble. Meath were without their all-star fullback, Sean Rafferty. They lost Matthew Costello. I believe Kay McBride, who's had a really good league so far, went off with a bit of an issue in the first half. But Conor McCallaghan was absolutely phenomenal in the game as well around midfield. Was probably the outstanding midfielder on show. Cork were missing players too. No Brian Hurley, Patrick Doyle. I missed someone as well. So Cork had big injury worries too. James, this is a massive win for Cork to cement their place in terms of chasing down, it's not over yet, but chasing down promotion to Division 1 for the first time in a decade.
Unbelievable win. And you saw their reaction after the game. They knew this was big. Like, their reaction was, we now have a massive chance. The only thing is, they have really hard fixtures to finish. I think, is it Kildare, Derry and Tyrone to finish. So that's why that game was so important. They're going to need to win at least one of the last three to get up, but there seems to be a bit of momentum there. Something nice. Their kicking ability has definitely improved. I remember I went to a Kerry Cork game in Parky Cueve maybe two or three years ago, and the only thing I took away from the game was Cork don't have enough shooters on the field. They don't have anyone who can you know, consistently kick over, you know, the repetitive scores or even those two-pointers. No, they have. You know, Cronin swung over a couple of lovely two-pointers last day. Obviously, you still have your Sherlocks, your Hurleys in the background to come back. And then
Sheedy was good, yeah. Young Sheedy
was good. Chris O'Jones' goal as well. Chris O'Jones' goal was a score that another team would have fisted out about.
Yeah.
You love this guy. You love him. You love this young fella.
He does.
He's having him.
And he doesn't get involved in the game that much. He's like Inzaghi back in the day.
Hippo. I love that. Offside. Born offside. Right?
Yeah. I'd say he'd lie, steal and cheat to get a goal chance. That's just the way he kind of strikes me as a player. And he'll go for the jugular and he'll get the goal. And that was a huge score to get them over the line. Without that, they'd probably been reeled in. So it was just clever finish and just left foot side, just out of the keeper's feet. I think the pressure ramps up on Cork a little bit now. They now have to go up. They have to finish the job. So the Kildare game is going to be the one.
You think one more win, 10 points will get them there. Like, it's been an incredible start. Like
10 points, no? 10 points could go down to score difference, because the way the division is going to
get them there.
Yeah, maybe. But the way Division 2 is looking, like Cork have the head-to-head on Meath, Meath have the head-to-head on Derry. Cork and Meath both have to play Tyrone. Derry have the head-to-head on Tyrone. So we've got a cluster of four or five in there. You know,
let's revisit this in after week six. they're in a great place. That's what they've done so far.
Well,
for the Royals, Tommy, was it just a little bit...
I think
it's still not a bad performance at a tough game.
No,
away from home. But did they, like, say a few knocks and niggles? The low. This is the next kind of question mark for Robbie Renner is around the depth of the squad and things like that, and maybe just running out a little bit of puff there. They've been on such a run and the momentum. But like Cork away is one of the toughest games they're going to face.
Yeah, and these two,
they're still absolutely in the hunt.
They are in the hunt, and these two, there's very rarely much between the two of them. And I think. They're both very well matched, actually. And definitely still in the hunt. They've got Kildare away next. That's huge. They finish with Offaly, who would already be relegated. And they've got Tyrone and Croke Park, who are all out of sorts at the minute. We'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah. Jimmy, you called it on Tyrone, to be fair to you.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, they
you
just
must have known. You must have known Cannavan was gone, did you?
Not just him, though,
Tommy. They're missing something. There's something not quite right there yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But on Meath, like... Meade still created a lot of chances, James. The Cork defenders have some unbelievable blocks. Sean Meehan made an absolutely exceptional diving block.
He did.
Jordan Morris, I thought, was true. He did this beautiful dummy, come outside three lads, had two bites of the cherry and ended up with a point. And I think there was another huge goal chance as well, right at the very end of the game. Meade nearly had a two-pointer to level it. Kieran Caulfield drops it short. Adam O'Neill spins, catches it, spins, blocked on the 5 yards out.
Was that Meehan again that blocked that the second time?
Could have been. I didn't catch who blocked it, but it was sensational.
I don't know. And a block down is so impressive to see. And there was some great blocks over the weekend. Jason Foley had one on in the Dublin game, a diving block. And it's great to see the blocks, but it's never a great sign of the forward when you get blocked down.
Especially for a point, right? Or do you mean goals as well?
I think both. I think you need to use your body better to either be fouled or to have a dummy in the locker, or time your shot a little bit better. I don't know, is that just the way that I was always told? It was like, if you were blocked down, it was such a mark against your name. It was like, so you played well, but you remember in the 5th minute you were blocked down. It looked terrible. I don't know, maybe it's just the way we were brought up, but I think you can be a little bit more clever to avoid the block down. And it is still great defending, and teams are definitely working on it because they're putting their body on the line to get there and get the block in, but... I think the forward needs to be cuter.
I think you're right. My first game of senior championship football in Clare, I got blocked down twice. I haven't been blocked down since. I got roasted in the dressing room for getting blocked. You don't do that in senior championship, do you?
Yeah, no, it gives life to the opposition. Like, if you do one of those blocks, you feel so good. You're like, what a job I just did for the team there. Everyone's patting you on the back. Everyone's going. And it's being referred to in team meetings. What about that block that Tommy did? You know, you're giving the opposition way too much life.
You get serious airtime, Jimmy, don't you, for an old block? Like, gee, you throw your arse at something and you get fucking 3 years out of it. Like, come on.
Is that why you dived at Stephen O'Neill's boot that time?
He scored the rebound. It bounced back to him. He kicked it over. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So like a huge win for Cork.
20 years ago, Tommy, still finding out on that one.
Yes, the Ian Maguire. By the way, Paddy, I loved whoever the Dublin social media manager was this week. He was on the money. He racked up the views, sharing a beautiful goal from Paddy Andrews against Kerry a couple of years back.
Oh, you've seen it, yeah.
Rolling back the years. Whoa,
10 years ago.
The boots, Jesus. The boots, by the way, I love them.
Redless. Nah, I wasn't a fan of them. I don't know why.
Very standout.
Yellow Preds. Yeah, they're the rugby ones. Big.
You all wore them, actually. He did the kind of All Blacks thing where you all wore the same boots, didn't you, for a while?
No, we didn't. Better times. Simpler times. Standard victory.
Loud cheer that video, Tommy. I missed it.
That was easy, Pete.
I will. I'll fire it on to you. It was a fine finish and a fine fetch. Loud Tyrone at the weekend. Let me just rattle through this quickly because 115 to 13 points. The wind in RD, Park for RD. I loved being at this game. It's very similar, like in the sense that Parky Rin James was full, right? And I had experienced Croke Park, and right, there's 25k in Croke Park for the double header. I think the hurlers put on a show, a really exciting game. The football, not so much, but there was less than 3,000 packed in, And the Tyrone fans were upset with the referee. The Loud fans were upset with the referee. The Loud fans were upset with their team's kickouts. The Tyrone fans were upset with their team's kickouts. There was just an atmosphere that was absolutely class. You could barely hear anything with the bloody wind rattling around the stand as well. And I think both teams put on a clinic in terms of how to play against the wind. But with the wind, they were not good. And maybe it's because the breeze swirls in RD and there's a tricky goal to shoot into. But Darragh Canavan against the wind kicked three absolutely wonderful scores and left it a 3-point game at the break. I went on the record on News Talk and said, lads, it's 10, 11, 12 point wind. You know, I don't know how.
Just get excited, Loud, Tommy, don't you? Just get carried away.
But yeah. it felt like it. But Loud outscored them 7-5 in the second half. Tyrone couldn't figure the wind out. They took loads of shots. Loud were 3-10 out of their 2-point efforts in the first half, which isn't great. Tyrone were worse in the second half, and I think the little bit of quality that the Loud's big players showed, right? They stole a kick out. Did you see the goal?
Donny, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Lobs Morgan gets Loud off to a perfect start. But in the second half, lads, Conor Grimes getting his hand on, I think it was maybe his 100th appearance for Loud. I think I spotted that afterwards. He looked absolutely destroyed every time he ran. The pitch was a bit heavy. He looked absolutely done every time he ran, but he kept winning breaking ball, going on a 45-yard burst, shipping it off. And then when the eyes went off him, he'd nearly fall to his knees. And he'd go again for the next kick out. But like, that is just massive. And like, Craig Lennon kicked a couple of great scores. Mulroy kicked a couple of big frees in the second half. It was an exhibition, I suppose, and how savvy this Loud team have become over the last couple of years. Mm. But Tyrone.
But it was native.
There's something wrong with Tyrone, lads.
For Gavin Devlin, just on Loud before we get on to the Tyrone piece, like, they were in a tough spot. And like, we were talking about last week after the, okay, nearly Lazarus-like comeback against me, but they were beaten. And you're thinking, have they recovered at all from that Leinster Championship win last year? You know, the All-Ireland series after that, which is kind of understandable, didn't go according to plan, but then they've started the league off really, really slowly. Obviously a change of manager as well, and that was a big game for, it was a big game for Tyrone, but it was a big game for Leo to pick up points and kind of nearly answer those questions around, we're still a serious team. And I thought that was a real takeaway for them as well. They have those kind of, Tommy Dernan, I know, gets the black card, but Sam Mulroy, Lennon, Grimes as well, we know how important he is around the middle third. They still have really top players, and that can be a springboard for their season, that victory there, to take out Tyrone. So important for Gavin Devlin for those players. But on the Tyrone side, you're right. And what this does for the rest of the division, Tommy, because we were only a few weeks ago at the start of this game, Tyrone are nailed on for promotion from Division 2. So there's only one other spot up for grabs. Whereas it turns out that this is great news for Meath and for Cork and for Derry. They're probably losing the Cavan puts them out of it. But it's one of the surprises so far of the year. I know it's still February. You don't want to write teams off or make any sweeping statements. But with Tyrone, it just seems glaring. They just seem...
They looked really good, Paddy, against the wind, 1-8 points down, yes. And they were smart, they used the ball well. The Canavan again is just,
you expect that from them though,
he's operating on another level, and they're obviously going to lose him now for the next couple of weeks, so it's tricky. Malachy O'Rourke afterwards, I actually missed him. I was recording Gavin Devlin at the time, but I listened back to the audio with some of the other lads, Andy Waters and the Irish News and a few others, and he was just, I don't know, does he even know what's wrong with him at the minute? Like, so we'll have to keep an eye on what's going on there.
Yeah, what did Cavan, you see, tell you? Like, what on the face of it is it?
I just kind of
all the tread outside the Canavan is.
Yeah, just again, the wind is tricky, right? But the start of the second half, they get 1 point in the first 8 minutes, but they miss 7 chances. Then they miss, you know, late on, I think they missed maybe 7 of their last 8 shots as well. Like, they were just, I think they panicked maybe when Loud kind of ground them down, and maybe lacking, I don't know, maybe a little bit of leadership or something, or maybe it's just not suiting them. I don't know. I don't think their big players outside of Canavan are playing great yet. And maybe they need to rush through these 20s, and maybe they need to just do maybe what Jared Brennan's doing and just get them in.
But they were stacked. Like, their team sheet was very strong.
But it's not clicking.
Do you know what has been glossed over a little bit is the fact that Canavan is going at all. Like,
yeah. Surprising. I mean,
like, they're ranking out of Division 2 and everyone is just kind of saying, oh yeah, Canavan's going to hold this. But I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't think that would happen if they were absolutely on the right path. Like, I don't know. Does it seem right? Do you know? If they're all in it together, that you're losing a player of that quality for that time.
You never went off to Tenerife for 2 weeks in the middle of the season, though?
Is it 2 weeks he's gone for, is it?
I'm only messing. No, I think
it's 4 or 5 weeks. How long is he going for?
I think it's 4 or 5 weeks to Australia. I don't know for sure. I think it's 4 or 5 weeks. You know, he's had a couple of long club campaigns with Argyle Kieran, not last year. But I get you. It is surprising. Yeah, I get you. For sure.
The season's going to be finished.
And it's a good point. Nobody has.
June or July.
Nobody has questioned it.
No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine knocking on Fitzmaurice's door back in the day and saying, "Come here, I'm after booking a road trip. I'll see you in 6 weeks." there's obviously, he's had injuries and he's had unbelievably long campaigns, and they've obviously given him the green light to do it. But it just seems that's unusual.
But you know what you said. If you're his teammates there as well, they're kind of going like, "Here's our best player." Like, we need this guy.
Yeah.
And maybe
so
all of this
is the thing.
Maybe this decision was made, you know, I'm sure it was in the off season in like November, December, and Maliki and Dara sit down and say, "Listen, I'm gonna do this," and maybe they're assuming everything's gonna be rosy by the time that happens. You know, we could have won our first 3 or 4 league games and we're pretty much promoted and you go and come back. Where it's just the way it's panned out. And maybe even to the teammates here on this is the story and it's fine. But the way it's happening now, it's just not ideal at all, because the surprise to everyone is just how much Tyrone have struggled in the division.
Yeah.
And
maybe...
I think that's a fair point.
Maybe it did even come from the management to say, "Look, we need you in the summer to be fresh. Go away." You know, maybe, it could have even been that. But I suppose just the lack of information we have about it does kind of lead to these questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. James, have you...
Planned.
James, if you have to hop, feel free to. I know you've got a meeting. Paddy, you might just hang with me for a couple of minutes. I just want to rattle through a few other of the results and look ahead to next weekend briefly, if you can. You've got to hop as well. You've got your GA Plus show. You've got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Who have you got on today?
We have Shane McAtee's going to talk to us about Meath. Owen Kelly is going to talk through the hurling tip getting wiped by Limerick on Saturday night. And I feel like I really should know the other guest. That is it. Darren O'Sullivan, sorry. He hasn't got home yet. He's like a bad smell hanging around Croker, so he's going to be wearing a Celtic jersey there as well. So, Jesus, so I have to get over for that as well. But the pod has preference, lads, of course, as always.
Okay.
Did you hear last week, John Hessel gave us a shout-out, unprompted.
I like that.
He was calling in, and he's like, "Paddy Jays was listening to the pod there last night." I was like, "Good man, John, get it in there."
Great stuff, I enjoyed that. Division 3, very much the same as it was, just we didn't have time to really get stuck into these the way that we might like to, but we might catch one or two of them over the next few weeks. Down 4-4, another big win at the weekend. Some of Murdoch's scores at the weekend were very impressive, kind of putting Manners maybe on the Wexford run that they've had so far, but still a very good league campaign for Wexford so far. They're still in the mix, they can still drag themselves into it. Westmead winning again at the weekend. Clare doing just about enough again, like a confidence booster to kind of turn around the result against Laois and get the job done. I still see a lot of talent when I look at the Clare football team. And I know it's not clicking for them yet, but when I look at their first 15, the likes of Brian McNamara, who was brilliant in the Sigerson, Ica Maguero, Dermot Coughlin, Mark McInerney, Owen Cleary kicking 10 points, Aaron Griffin with 6. And Laois, though, missed a late, I think, 21-yard free. They missed a penalty late on. So Clare just about got away with that one. Limerick were beaten at the weekend by Sligo. So bit of a shot in the arm for the Sligo footballers there. That was a big result there and kind of stalling Limerick's run. Westmead, as I mentioned, 126 to Fermanagh's 211. Fermanagh looked like they're on the way down under Declan Bonner. It just ain't working at the moment. I don't know why, but it just isn't happening for them. And in Division 4, Colm Hulton leading the charge for Carlow. Joe Murphy's boys, Paddy. I know the line didn't work.
He's coming on. Joe, we have him back in this week. Joe was
brilliant.
His Wi-Fi was down last week, so he's
okay.
I think we're kicking off the show with Joe. So yeah, 3 in a row, actually 4 in a row. So it'd be even better for him. Hopefully the old internet connection works for him.
Looking forward to hearing that one. And you know, Carlo were 4-4. Look very good to get out of division for this stage. Wicklow behind them on 6 points, another win. Longford and Tip drew at the weekend. Antrim finally got their first win of the year. They flipped the script on Leitrim and bet them at the weekend as well. So that was a big result
for Antrim, and Antrim football needed it, and the hurlers won at the weekend as well. So maybe maybe things are turning up. So we'll see what else happens there in Division 4. On Saturday night, it was Wicklow who took care of Waterford. Wicklow took care of London on Sunday, and on Saturday night was Carlow who took care of Waterford. So that's it, lads, I think, for this week's football pod. Interesting weekend to go through. Maybe not the greatest weekend in terms of skill, but there's still bits and pieces to get stuck into and get excited about. Another big round coming up in round 5. Fellas, I think we'll leave it there, and we will catch up during the week. Cheers, boys.
Enjoy the week, boys. As always.
See you, lads.
See you later. Bye-bye.